Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you do have any comments you'd like to make during the broadcast or speak to our guest, feel free to either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or for those of you who are a little radio shy, you can always email me at bonkay@aol.com, B-O-N-K-A-Y-E, @aol.com. Before I introduce our very special guest for tonight, I just want to make a few announcements. I know that my newsletter was not on time this month, and that was only semi-intentional. I just got really bogged down, but I wanted to move it up closer to when the holidays are here. And I know that many of you wrote to me because you were concerned that you didn't receive it, and I appreciate your interest in my newsletter. This one will really be spectacular because it's going to be very long to get you through the holidays with lots of good information and lots of great letters and articles and blog posts. So be looking for it. It'll be going out tomorrow. And if you're not on my newsletter list, just email me at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll be more than happy to add you on. During this time of the year, to be getting support as much as possible, because I know that the holidays are a very difficult time for many people who are going through their first year alone or second or even third. And at the end of a marriage, you know, it's always hard to get through the holiday period, especially from Thanksgiving all the way till Valentine's Day. That's a big, yucky time. I know that in my life, I always look at it as, oh, here it goes. And that even years later, you know, you have all those memories, residual scarring, and things that take you back, like post-traumatic stress, to your marriage. So, you know, one of the things that you can do is you can listen to all the past radio shows by going to blogtalkradio.com. And in the search bar, just put down Straight Wives Talk Show, and there's hundreds of episodes on there. Something that will always, you know, appeal to you or help you get through the, you know, crisis and the time. I do want to say at this point in time that I'm very grateful for all the people who are part of the support network. And there are so many of you that are there to build up others and to help them get through the tragedy, pain pals, support pals, just wonderful Straight Wives network. And, you know, I don't want you to think that I take any of you for granted. I'm very appreciative of all of you and how you support my work. I would like to send a get well shout out greeting to my dear friend Jody in Colorado, who just had surgery, but she said she's doing really well, so I'm really glad to hear that. If any of you need extra support during the holidays, let me know. Just send me an email and I'll hook you up. You know, you don't have to feel like you're alone going through this. That's the whole purpose of my network, is to make people feel connected, and I'll be more than happy to work with you on that. So without any further ado, I want to introduce my dear friend and someone who I respect so highly and love, Janine Finelli. And thank you for coming back, Janine.
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, ladies. Thank you for having me back. I'm always thrilled to be here with the group. Just honored. And I love hearing your voice.
Oh, I love hearing yours, too, even if I have to trick you onto this show to get to hear it. Because I know you are very, very busy, and that's okay. I think as long as there's all good things happening, as long as there's all good things happening, we can always catch up on the Straight Wives Talk Show, right?
Yeah, we can. What happened to you here?
I think that when you were last here, your book hadn't come out yet, is that right?
Yeah, you're right. It was
process.
Right before that. Mm-hmm. Yep, it came out the end of September, and gosh, it's been amazing from the standpoint of just some of the emails and, you know, Facebook messages that I've got from people reaching out to me and being able to put their defenses down and sharing with me. And so that has been so rewarding. So rewarding.
Okay, so let me say this about your book, all right? You wrote a book, Love Yourself to Health, with gusto. And the subtitle is ABC Guide to Surviving a Toxic Relationship. So I know there's a lot of books out in the market referring to situations that are similar to ours. And I've seen a number of them. I've read a number of them. And some of them are very impressive. But let me tell you something. Your writing is amazing. Amazing. When I read this book, you know, the whole emotional end of it of what you went through, you know, I was actually crying, and I can't really say any other book really makes me cry. But, I mean, it was just so beautifully written. And everyone, for the holiday season, if you want to buy yourself a gift, you know, you can imagine how good this book is if I'm telling you to buy Janine's book instead of mine. But it's that good that you need to use this as your guidebook all year round, because not only will it touch every emotional feeling you have of what you're going through, but then there's a whole rest of the book about how to do things for yourself to make yourself better and to make yourself healthier. And I don't want to say this to, like, embarrass Janine because of the fact that Janine could fit inside my right hand. I think my right hand could go around your whole waist, Janine.
You probably wanted to stay like, for a while when I didn't leave.
You're so tiny and you're so beautiful. And the funny thing is, like, the beauty is as strong inside as it is outside. You know, Janine is one of the most down-to-earth, non-judgmental, loving people that I've ever met. And she exudes with love. You know, members of our group were able to see her at our last couple of healing weekends and get to know her and become fans of hers, as I am a true fan of hers, and so happy that she was able to put this book together. And, Janine, you know, you have a history as a straight wife, correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
You have a history as a straight wife.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
This is not new territory that you're not familiar with.
No, and I'm familiar with it, and when I see some of the Facebook posts and I connect with some of the women, I have to tell you there's been so many things recently that still just touch me and make my heart break. And I don't know that that will ever change. And I think you, I mean, obviously, you being out of it so much longer than I have, I moved a little over a year and a half ago now, but I just, my heart breaks when I see what the women do for their children and their families. It really kills me. So I was so drawn to write the book because I have been through it, and I have, you know, even though our stories are so, you know, different in so many ways, but that common thread of how we're feeling so void of anything that makes us feel like a woman, or, you know, in many cases even a respected human being, it brings me to my knees like very few things do. And when I read the lengths that we go through to salvage something, even if it's our husband's image, just because it's, you know, it's what we've always done, we protect. And even when it's not in the best interest of ourselves, we're always giving and protecting. And so I have experience with it, and it has forever changed me, like it has all of us.
It has. And yet you were able to pick yourself up from there, from the depths of hell, and that's how your marriage was for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was painful. You know, it's not, you know, can you tell people what you have tattooed on your hands?
Sure. I think it was next week. It'll be 3 years ago. So it was a year and a half before I moved. And I got "Love Is" on one wrist and "Kind" on the other. And that was my gift to myself, and that was my gift to my kids so that they see it all the time. And it's just a reminder that it just simplified everything for me, because when I got that, I thought of loving myself. Am I being kind to myself? Love is kind. I'm not, you know, by accepting certain behavior and allowing someone to speak to me that way or be financially controlling or, you know, just fool around behind my back and whatever was going on, I wasn't being kind to myself. And that was where it really needed to start. And I thought, I need to love myself because this person isn't. And then I kind of looked outward and I realized that love is kind. It's not the gifts. It's not the apology flowers. It's not, you know, it's not a good week of no fighting and ignoring me. That's not kind. So I really started, it just simplified everything for me, Bonnie, and really that's what I always come back to, is if you love something, you're kind. It doesn't mean you can't get emotional over things, and you can't, you know, it doesn't stir up your senses, but at the end of the day, really, it's very simple, because it's not simple to leave, and it's not simple to deal with new traditions and our kids and everything that comes from trading one set of problems for another set of problems. But it's very simple when we're in that stage, when we're saying, oh, but he's trying, and, you know, he's doing this for us now. We're spending time romantically, or we're spending time as a family. It's so short-lived, and it's just these little blips. But overall, love is kind. And you think about people that you love, you would never treat them the way that you've been treated. You wouldn't treat your kids that way. You wouldn't treat your parents that way. You wouldn't treat anybody that you love, you wouldn't treat that way. So it just simplified it all for me. And every single day, you know, it's my reminder.
And I think that it just says it so beautifully, because I think we complicate things so much more than they're meant to be. And that's why I have my mantra on my homepage: life was not meant to be this complicated, period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not what life is about. It was never
exactly
supposed to be this confusing, this compromising, this looking away. having to take medication to survive in a relationship, having to dim your mind so you don't have to see or think about what you don't want to have to face. I mean, to me, when people take medication to survive in a relationship, that has to be the biggest red flag of all. If you need medicine to cope with your marriage, then there's something wrong with the marriage. Then it's a sick marriage. If you're taking medicine because you can't cope without it for the marriage, then that tells you right away there is something wrong. And love is kind. It's so simple, but it says it all. And I think also what you're trying to say, that and even in the best of marriages, in straight marriages, there are difficulties. People go through highs and they go through lows, but they communicate. And it's not as if it's a no-win situation. It's not like a lose-lose situation, where when you're when you're a man who's gay or narcissistic or, you know, all different kinds of sociopathic, borderline, it's just a no-win, no-win. I mean, it can be a temporary high because these guys know how to drag you back in, but it's not going to be there for long. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And in the beginning of the book, I touch on that because, you know, not everything is puppy dogs and rainbows, and there is compromise and there is miscommunication and there is, but when something like that happens in a healthy relationship, you're like, oh gosh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that hurt your feelings. I'll try not to do that again. I mean, you try to work together on it. It's not that you never make mistakes. It's just that you really try to fix them and you really try to care about the other person's feelings and make a difference in the future. Whereas the unhealthy and the destructive relationship, all those apologies that come is just because they feel shame and they feel guilt, and they're not apologizing and taking you out to dinner because they really care about your feelings. They just need to get out of jail free card, you know, and they just need to check that box and say, see, I'm a good guy. I bought you flowers.
Exactly. I don't even think it's out of shame or guilt, because I don't think they have shame or guilt.
Yeah, no.
I don't think they're really capable of that.
Right, right. So
they're just trying to woo you back in and to trap you back in. And I see this happening to so many of our women. I mean, I think our women are, I always say that straight wives make the best wives because we try harder than anybody else I know to make something right that can never be right. You know, we overlook and we try harder, we work harder, and we're always trying to make our husbands happy, thinking they're going to love us better and want us, when this will never happen. And women have
never
to learn
happen.
When to cut their losses, right? I mean, that's part of coming to that realization, I can't make this right, I have to move on.
Right, and it's, oh my gosh, boy, does it, you know, only whoever's in that situation knows when the time is right for them, and there'll always be somebody who's like, why are you staying or why are you doing this? You really got to tune that out and kind of realize that a lot of those people have their own crap to deal with, and they might mean well, but they don't necessarily know really what to say or how to help. And I talk about that in the book too, whether it's relatives or friends, tuning people out and surrounding yourself with a few good people who really get it and, you know, understand what you're dealing with, and understand that, you know, hey, a lot of us would have left a long time ago if there were no kids involved. I know I would have. But when someone's controlling all the money and you you know that this person is angry, you're not going to leave a baby with them. And unfortunately, you can't pack up your kids and leave, and because the laws protect both parents in, you know, in a lot of ways. So we know that. We know, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves about why we're there. And there is a, you know, what are we getting out of it? And for a long time, I would say, well, I'm okay, I have a roof over my head, I have my bills paid for, and I'm going to use this time to cultivate my escape and build my business and do all those things. So I really kind of looked at it and said, what am I getting at this point? I'm not getting anything emotionally or physically that was loving, but right now I don't have to worry about how I'm paying the mortgage, and that's a win for me. So I used all of my energy to grow my business and kind of, you know, develop a plan. Because if there were no kids, I would have been like, oh, see ya, a long time ago. a long time ago.
Well, I always tell it's not a race to get to the end. You have to have a game plan. And I always say the one person who I talk about with this, who was my hero, is my friend Gail from Canada, because you met Gail when we were in California. I just love her because, you know, beyond the group, I mean, she's a wonderful person with a kind soul. She's like my angel sister, as I call her, always wishing me everything wonderful. Mm-hmm. And she's just the kindest soul. And when she first came to me, you know, I said to her, you need to get out of this marriage. You know, it's really destructive for you. And she said, I know, but it's going to take time. And you know what? It did take time. Mm-hmm. It took like 5 years. But you know what? She kept working at it, chipping away, putting herself in an emotional position, in a financial position. She had children to have to deal with, but she never stopped. It was never like, oh, no, I'm going to turn back. I know I have to move ahead. Even if it takes me time, I am going to get to the finish line. And she did. With dignity and grace. And, you know, she always said to me, well, I know I'm not moving very fast. And I said, well, it doesn't matter how fast you move as long as you move.
Right.
You know, it's not
moving
a contest.
Right.
Although I do say, you know, and I'd like to emphasize this, and I think you'll agree with this, that every day you lose in a marriage is a day you can never get back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I really do agree with that. And I think that's what hurt my mom the most. Is she saw me give, I was with him for 12 years and we were married for 10, but it killed her watching her daughter give up 12 years of her life for somebody. And I get that now because I look at my daughter and I say, gosh, you know, that is so precious. You trading your days and we only have a certain number of them. And it's the most valuable thing we have is our health and our time and to do something and to live the life that we want to live. And it is, you never get it back. And it does, you know, they say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But I think emotionally we might become stronger and spiritually we might become more grounded and focused and empowered. But our health, our physical body, it takes a toll on us. After, you know, whether it's antidepressants and sleep medications or too much caffeine or too much alcohol or, you know, just not taking care of ourselves, and so unfortunately we do get stronger in some ways, but our health, our physical health can really decline. And that's the tragic thing is, you know, we give everything to these marriages and to our families to be the glue to hold it together. And then we're the ones left with the high blood pressure and the high cholesterol and the, you know, just not feeling well. And that to me is just, it's heartbreaking because we give everything to these guys. And that's where I really decided, I am not going to give you my health. You can have anything you want, but I'm not going to give you my health. And that's where I had to draw the line because I thought this person's taken, not only have they taken 12 years of my life, they're going to take my future too. What kind of relationship am I going to have in the future with myself and my children and any other man who comes into my life? I mean, I want to be present for that and I want to feel good and I want to be the person that I want in return. But if I was chewed up and spit out in an unhealthy way, I would not be the partner to somebody else that I want in return. And I wouldn't be the kind of mother that I want to be. And I wouldn't have the energy and be sleeping. And, you know, and it's not always easy. It's rarely easy. But, yeah, I had to really kind of fall in love with Janine all over again. And I say that wondering if I ever really did love Janine the way that I love her now. You know?
And I think that's true, too. You know, from this marriage came a whole new life for you, and maybe knowing yourself better than you ever knew yourself. I think if anything, you learn to admire yourself for having the strength and garner, you know, being able to stand up even when life keeps pushing you down. And maybe you evolve into somebody better than you were when you even started. I know, like I said, I was a very strong woman when I got into my marriage with my ex-husband, and within months, it was amazing how a strong woman like I was could be beaten down to nothingness by, you know, all the negative messages that you live with every day, criticizing you and blaming you, and you not having that missing puzzle piece, knowing why this is going on. You know, it's just so destructive to people. But you took this and you turned it around and you became a health coach, which I'm sure took a lot of work, right?
Oh, it did. It was, and I would say to anybody who's in that situation saying, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this on my own? It is not easy, but I'll tell you what, you've got, like Bonnie said, you just have to have a plan and you have to start somewhere and you have to take that first step. And even if it's really slow, as long as you're moving in the right direction. So I did. I went back to school in 2007 and that did not go over so well because it's, you know, smart women, we want to keep our women dumb and uninformed. These guys don't want us being marketable and want us having a say and wanting us to create a future, and they feel threatened when we move ahead in any capacity. And so I really kind of said, this is my opportunity. Like, God has given me a window, and this window is wide open, and I'll be damned if someone's going to close it on me, because I got to figure something out, because I was in the pharmaceutical industry and I had quit my job when I had my daughter and stayed home. And so it would have been a little difficult for me to get back into that, but I did. I started and I created my business, and it was slow. And that's why I say, what are the pluses right now about the situation? It's not emotional. It's not physical. Is there anything that you could say, okay, this is not a problem right now, and in the future, I'm going to have to worry about this. I'm going to have to worry about paying the mortgage or paying rent or car insurance or health insurance or whatever it is. What's taken care of now for me, and what can I do to better myself while I've got these things that aren't a problem right now? And that was where that was kind of what I started thinking.
Well, before you became a health coach, were you into a healthy lifestyle at any point, or was this something new for you?
I was, but it was very, very different than I am now, because, you know, we go through these seasons of life and we different stresses, different people, different careers, different body types, our hormones are different. And so back then I always, I didn't exercise that much though. I mean, I would go for walks here and there, but I didn't exercise that much. I always thought I ate healthy, but I kind of just went with what I read or what I saw on TV and all that. And the reason I got into it was because after being in a car accident when I was 16 years old, I had had several surgeries, and I would eat something and I wouldn't feel good. I went into the hospital 3 times with almost 107 temperature. And
wow.
They took my appendix out one time because they were like, we don't know what's wrong with her, 107. And, of course, my friend brought me to the hospital that night. He didn't even take me. And so, you know, I just, because I had so many surgeries, I just, my intestines, you know, even I think that night I had like an artichoke or something. I made a steamed artichoke and I had a glass of red wine. I probably had 2 glasses of red wine. And then, I learned that certain foods, even if they're healthy, don't work for me. And then I found that to be true for everybody. You don't have to have an illness or a surgery or internal adhesions or something, you know, a diagnosis to realize that certain foods just make us feel good and certain foods just don't work for us. And it could be something that's healthy. It's not necessarily all the toxic stuff that we're eating. So I wanted to understand more about why I was having the stomach pain that I had. Now, when you combine that with being told all the horrific things every day and just, you know, wanting the ground to open me up and swallow me whole, because I would rather anything than being in that house with him. So that stress really, I mean, since I moved out, I had stomach pain one time, and that's just because I ate something I shouldn't have eaten on an empty stomach, and it was just hard for me to digest. Other than that, I've never felt better physically, because without having that constant, that dementor living in my house, It made a huge difference. Huge.
And I always say that, you know, with my particular situation, even though it was physically harder, I was able to emotionally handle things so much better when I stopped walking on those eggshells and having to worry about everything I said or did being wrong. You know, once I took control back of my life and I had my life back, I was able, it was amazing, like within the week how strong I became again. Like I started finding myself right away. But these guys can just zap it out of you. Did you find that in your marriage?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I like you said before, you were a strong woman and you become unrecognizable. And that's just how they like you. That's just how they like you. They don't. It's like living in a third world country. They need to keep us unempowered and down and groveling.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to control us. And they control the money. And they control, you know, where we go and what we say. And, you know, as much as they possibly can. And it's amazing. And I recently had someone say to me, in conversation when I let her in a little bit about, you know, toxic marriage, and she knew I wrote the book, she's like, oh God, I would never put up with that. And all I can think of is, you know, I wasn't passing judgment on her comment because I said that to myself. I would have said that 15 years ago. I would have been that person saying, oh, I would have never put up with that. But when you're in that situation, you do.
Right, exactly.
You know, you find yourself just being like a shell of a person saying, who am I and why am I doing this? Like, I know so much better. And that's why, for me, I had to start out the beginning of my book, it's called A Love Story, because every single counselor I went to was like, what's your relationship like with your father? He must have been abusive. Or, you know, they were just digging, trying to find something in my childhood that I was repeating history and why I gravitated towards an abusive partner and was this familiar behavior for me. And I just, it wasn't. I just married a really good con artist. And he had everyone fooled. And so that's all there was to it. It didn't happen from my childhood. In fact, maybe my childhood taught me that love is kind and you forgive and you overlook. And, you know, so maybe there was a degree of that that I just kind of was accepting. And I learned, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, it changes you.
It does. And, you know, it is hard to change back, but sometimes you change and not go back, but you get much better. Because you find new strength. I think that becoming a single parent or becoming alone, some women don't have children, they're just now alone, and having to readjust their lives after being in relationships that were often codependent after a while, because these guys know how to manipulate you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us were not in good situations like you were coming into marriages. You know, many of our women had come from dysfunction into more dysfunction.
Right.
So they didn't have the advantage of knowing any kind of normalcy to start with. So it was even more confusing because you didn't have any role modeling that was positive. And you walk into these marriages, which, you know, totally confuse you altogether. So you think it's you and not the marriage. I always say to women, children will model themselves after you and your marriage. So if yours isn't good, theirs won't be good either.
Right.
Because that's what they're looking at, right?
Right. So. And they are. And even though I married someone who's the opposite of my father, I had that gauge, you know, and I knew this is not how I was raised. This isn't right. And it was really surprising to me, too. Like, how did I wind up here? How did I allow this to happen? And, you know, I say in the book that I started, you know, people would say, well, there's two sides to every coin. That's why I closed down, because if I heard that one more time, takes two to tango, there's two sides to every coin, those kind of phrases really just kind of clamped me up and kind of, I went inward, because I thought, I kept saying, what did I do to cause this? What did I do to cause this? What's my role in it? Why doesn't he want to come home? Why doesn't he want to be with me? Why is he so hateful? Why is he so mean? Why is he so angry? But then I realized that, gosh, Bonnie, your words, takes two to make it, one to break it. And that helped me so much.
Right. When you have a gay husband, it only takes one, the gay one. There's not two to tango there. But
yeah,
is it
yeah.
okay with you if I just read a little bit of your book, you know, that I
yes.
would like women to hear?
Yes.
This is at the end, I guess, of the marriage, where it says, Getting Back Your Power. And you say, only you will be able to determine where the crack or canyon lies in your relationship. Only you will know when you've had enough and when you are ready to recognize the loop that keeps replaying in your thoughts. Then you can decide if you want to hit rewind and replay it another 10,000 times. Stillness speaks, and when you listen to that little voice inside of you that tells you that you aren't crazy and that you know there is more to it than this, I urge you, never let that voice of God go, especially during those times when you are told you are a lunatic, jealous, crazy, stupid, or anything else negative. Just when you are beginning to recognize what is really happening, they try to get you off track. That's how they do it, and it works, doesn't it? Do you continually question yourself and the facts? Is your behavior allowing him to control you? Because he has always been able to, and he knows it. Like Eleanor Roosevelt said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Your consent is not, please abuse me more. Your consent, rather, is the way you react to his bullying and intimidation. You react by accepting it, staying, keeping calm, and carrying on as if the abuse never happened. He knows your triggers and your breaking points all too well. The message I want you to take away from this book is that when you are hereby validated to begin to leave your death trap, when something is no longer causing your soul to grow, expand, and connect to its truth, you will get dragged into a black hole if you don't find a path out. A path that is authentic, a path that nurtures your body, your mind, your soul, a path that is your smarter, that is your choice to walk because you want to. It is never about prettier, smarter, neater, or thinner. It's about your toxic partner's black hole that sucks everything in its path, including you, into the abyss. Once you become soul sick, heart sick, and physically sick, the choice is yours. Do you want more of the same, or do you want to live? Every hurtful word, every physical blow, every unloving gesture, every moment of deceit, every feeling of betrayal is brewing inside you. Those things seep into your core and destruct the pillars of your health. The results are low self-esteem, loneliness, acting out sexually or withdrawing sexually, fear, failure syndrome, and unresolved resentment. Those effects then manifest into physical effects such as addiction, alcohol, prescription drugs, caffeine, sugar, smoking, allergies from depressed immune function, insomnia, high blood pressure, eating disorders, panic attacks, phobias, rashes, migraines, digestive issues such as heartburn and weight gain or weight loss. Unless you roll up your sleeves and love yourself to health, no one can do it for you. And I think that's what this book is about. You have to love yourself enough to health. By going through all of the wonderful advice that you give people, and you do it in an ABC order, that every letter has its own set of definitions of things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just want to tell you how beautiful those words were, Janine, and they just, every time I read them, it just makes me feel so bad for women who just keep staying and getting abused.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know that they can just, it's that, you know, and it's never that easy. I never say that this is ever an easy thing. It's the most difficult thing in the world, especially when you have children, as you know.
Right.
But we have to be role models to our children. I always tell this to women.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the articles that's in my upcoming newsletter that, you know, is going out tomorrow is an article that was shared by, you know, Patty from our group. And I was just amazed by it. It was written by a gentleman who had a gay father and a straight mother who just pretended like it wasn't there. And that's how they grew up, always, you know, seeing what was going on, but the mother just denying it more than the father, who was just trying to play with it, but they would catch him doing things and see him doing things.
Right.
And, you know, when you role model for your children that you're a weak woman and that you won't stand up for what's right and you'll overlook things that are wrong in a marriage, then this is not the right message to give children. I know it's hard to leave, but the message when you leave is that I expect expect more from myself so you can expect more for yourself. Wouldn't you say that's true?
I would say that's true. And one thing I want everyone who's listening or going to listen to this to think of is it's very fearful to leave your kid because in a great situation, you can at least have the child with you. But when I see women, you know, and I'm one of them. I had to leave my daughter with him, and he was volatile. And it was so upsetting. I put all of my energy and realized that I would never be able to change him. So what I did, ladies, was I focused on empowering my daughter, who was 9 at the time. But I had worked on that. I started to work on that for a couple of years to teach her that she's not responsible for daddy's outburst. She's not his babysitter. She's not his entertainment committee when he feels like he needs to put on his father of the hat year and parade her around the neighborhood pool or, you know, bring her to the store and, you know, all those things that he would not do frequently, but then all of a sudden would feel like he needs to check that father of the year box and start doing all these things with her and then, you know, never homework or anything important, but just make me feel like a good father. So be with me and give me a hug in public and, you know, make me look good. It was essentially like that. But I started role-playing with her when I could see she was going to get nervous about something. And I'd say, well, you know, what are you expecting your father to say? And she'd tell me and I'd say, okay, so what typically happens when daddy says that to you? And she would tell me and I'd say, okay. So I'd give her 2 or 3 or 4 standard remarks for her to say to him so that she felt empowered. And it could be anything as simple as, you know what, daddy, I'm sorry, but we have homework and we're staying home. We shouldn't go to the restaurant tonight. Or, you know, because he'd drag her out and, you know, she'd have homework. And then, of course, she'd be sitting at a bar somewhere doing homework while he's having sushi. So
terrible.
I'd give her these standard remarks that empowered her. And I told her, as long as you stay calm and as long as you take a deep breath and you be the biggest most grown-up 9-year-old that you can be, or 8-year-old or 7-year-old was about when I started, you know, that's all, you know, and if you got to say it 3 times to daddy, you say it 3 times. And so it gave her a voice instead of crying and getting afraid. And, you know, I said, you know what, Lil? Okay, what do we know for sure? We know daddy's not going to lock you in the attic. You know, and I would get her laughing about some things, and trust me, there was very few things to laugh about at that point, but I found a couple of things. And I'd say, we know he's not going to lock you in the attic, and she'd be like, well, no, he's not going to lock me in the attic. We know he's not going to, you know, lock you up there and not send you to school the next day. She'd be like, no, he's not going to do that. Okay, what's he going to do? He's going to yell. Yeah, daddy yells all the time. Okay, we know he's going to yell. So don't be afraid when he yells. Don't be afraid if he slams the door. Daddy's been doing that forever. And so we'd talk through things, and by her hearing me say that, it kind of took some of that fear away and empowered her. And she was like, huh, okay. So she saw me speaking up to him and actually speaking to him like he was, you know, in elementary school, because I would say, okay, I hear what you're saying, but that's not how things are going to be tonight. What we're going to do is, and she would start to see me talk to him like that, and he would, you know, look at me like I was crazy. And then she would model that behavior. And then I knew that when I wasn't there, that at least she was going to say, you know what, I can pick out my own clothes, and if I'm cold, then I'll take responsibility for it. I'm not wearing what you picked out. Something like that. Or, you know, it could be something, most of the times it was something that he really was trying to control with her that he had no business controlling, so much more than clothes and frivolous things like that. But just it kind of gave her the power, and that was what I wanted, and she's gotten so much better with that, so much better.
I think that's such great advice to give children when they're being torn, when, you know, they don't want to be with a parent who is abusive,
right?
You know, rageaholic, as I like to call them. I always said my ex-husband would shout me down to shut me up, and he did a good job at it, because I would shut up. You know, I'm not one who likes living in a state of hostility. It was just easier for me to not say anything.
Right.
And that's the technique that they use. I guess yours was very much the same, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just keep shouting and you'll get your way like a big baby.
Just keep shouting, exactly, like a big baby. So I kind of, we laughed a little bit and I would kind of do his voice and I'd say, you know, Lily, you need to, da, 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 da. And she'd be like, well, that doesn't really sound like him. I'm like, I'm doing the best I can, you know. And we would wind up laughing a little bit and finding glimmers of something to laugh about. And then I'd get in the car. We'd go through the whole thing of what she was nervous about and why she thought she was going to get yelled at. And I'd drive over to the house, and it killed me letting that kid get out of the car. But at least I knew she had her remarks. She had them on hand. She felt prepared. And she did the best that she could. She didn't always get her way, and it wasn't about getting her way, but she did get heard. And the older she gets, the more she's heard. And that's all I wanted. And so you can help your child to kind of, because it's hard. I mean, they intimidate us, and we're adults. Can you imagine what it's like to be a 3, 4, 5, 8, 10, 16-year-old? And, you know, it's scary. We know that because we know we don't like those tempers. But the more we stand up and the more we give our kids, empower them with remarks and with role-playing, it does. It really helps them. And it's going to help them in the future with other people, too, because there's bullies everywhere.
Yes, there definitely are. You know, one of the things that I want to explain about your book also is that in addition to giving the whole emotional angle of it, which is so beautifully, beautifully written, when you go on to giving advice to people on the health end, I mean, some of this stuff is just so amazing, things that you wouldn't think about. And leading a healthy lifestyle is not easy for many people, especially me. However, there's enough in here that you can make little changes. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything big. I mean, thanks to you, I mean, some of my habits have changed, but like I'm taking magnesium now, which I never took before, and you know, doing other things that you advise in here, you know, to try to just make myself feel better. But everything is in ABC order, so it's really interesting. Like, you know, all the things you have in the alphabet, that these are all ways to make yourself feel better, right?
Yeah, and there's so many, like you said, there's so many different things. And I can remember just starting to breathe, and I have breathe in there, and like what that felt like to stop and take a deep breath and breathe and kind of stop for a minute. And so it doesn't matter where you begin. You can begin with something in F or something in A or something under any letter. You can start with any topic, and they all, it'll just build, and you'll try something else, and you might be aware of something else, and it really doesn't matter where you begin. I even, and if you want, Bonnie, I'm not sure if it's too late, but I could email you the paragraph. It's like a page and a half on holidays and creating new traditions, because that is such a, like you started out.
Oh, yeah, please
saying,
do that.
Yeah, because
that
is just such a good thing for people to read this time of year, because it's heartbreaking. And, you know, I talk about creating new traditions and how you've got, you know, different decorations, and you don't, your sentimental things aren't there. And so there's, so I'll send that to you. But yeah, it can
send
be
it to me tonight.
It can be just, yes, I'll do that tonight. It
when
can
you hang
be
up
anything.
The phone. But let's talk about F for a minute, because I'm on the F page, and I'll show people how diversified this book is. You know, the F's cover a span of ideas and objects that, when I was in the throes of toxic relationship, helped me keep it together. I would have been lost if it had not been for my friends, that's an F, and exploring forgiveness, that's an F. Well, forgiveness takes time, but you can come around just like I did. Even something simple like smelling fresh-cut flowers is another F, or walking outside to breathe the fresh air, another F, or sometimes enough to snap me out of my funk, which is also another F. But you have F is also for freedom, as in freedom from feeling bad about yourself, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from a bad relationship. How can these concepts and things become your companion on your journey towards good mental, physical, and spiritual health? So your first step that you talk about is fiber. Eat more fiber, and you talk about soluble fiber and soluble fiber. So this is health stuff. You move from fiber to flowers, saying oftentimes in relationships that are destructive, flowers are accompanied by a note that reads, I'm sorry. It can be a love-hate sort of thing because the flowers are so gorgeous, yet are a reminder, not an eraser, of the pain endured. However, my parents used to send me gorgeous bouquets for various occasions, and that always made my day brighter. As I went on, I began buying myself flowers. So you talk about flowers. I love it. Then you go on to forgiveness, which is, it says, when we are hurt and thus living in our ego, forgiveness seems practically impossible. For me, it was very difficult because every time I would forgive, the same thing would happen again, leaving me feel like life's biggest loser. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to keep accepting the behavior. It means that sometimes you need to walk away from unhealthy situations and free your heart from holding on to resentment. I also read once that resentment is the pill you swallow, helping to make someone else sick. Boy, is that one true. So, I mean, you talk about different ways. You move on to that, to fresh air, and you move on to friends and how important it is to have friends when you're going through this. So every letter that you go through has a big variety. It's not just health tips that are, you know, when you're talking about eating health tips, but also all different kinds of tips, like for eye, for identity, image, ingredients. Then you go on to something healthy as far as food. In a busy and hectic life, sometimes less is more. Take ingredients, for example. It seems to me the best comfort foods and even the healthiest dishes only call for a few simple yet fresh items. Sometimes life calls for quick, right? Anyone who has to work and has children demands knows that life isn't always allow time to slice, dice, saute, and bake. Here are my few go-tos when life is lugging me. Iceberg lettuce with sliced avocado and turkey, rotisserie chicken from Whole Foods Market on a side of steamed broccoli, Hillary's frozen vegetable burgers. Well, these aren't too many things I would like, but that doesn't mean they're not good for you. I could probably go for the celery with the almond butter. I could probably do that. But you do have a whole list of things that people can do. I is also for your inner child. I mean, so everything... Yeah. Every letter in here has emotional things, physical things, eating things, and it's just amazing that you get leaned so much. I'm not going to lie to you, Janine. I mean, I've read this book like 7 times, and every time I read it, there's something new I read in it that I, you know, didn't read thoroughly enough before, the probiotics. I got myself on a regimen of that after reading that, and I've learned so much on a physical level, but also on the emotional level, and that's why I think it's so important for women to treat themselves to your book, because your book is about loving yourself to health. And you're so right that our women are so battered down, it does affect your immune system. You know, like you said, you get headaches, you get all kinds of aches when you're living in a tense situation with nothing but stress. It's very easy to physically let yourself go. And so look, you know, I'm not saying I'll ever be thin, and, you know, maybe one of my arms will be as big as you someday. But the point is that maybe if I lose another 30, 40 pounds, my arm will be your size. But the point is that you can still have a healthier life. You don't have to be doing it because you're trying to prove anything except that you can be healthy for you. Right?
Right. And you want to live. You're not going through this and trying to find a way out so that you can, you know, have a quality of life that isn't making you feel good. And I see, you know, so many that I met, they want to have love in their life. And, you know, you want to be healthy and you want to feel good and you want to be that person that's been suppressed inside of you for so long. And I can tell you sometimes we think of our age and we're like, God, I'm 10 years older or 20 years older than I was. But so much of feeling healthy is taking care of yourself. It's not the age. So you can have the health and the body, mind, and spirit, you know, to match probably somebody who is a lot younger if you take care of yourself. And because you're doing this because you want to live and you want to be an example to your children and you want to you don't want to leave this relationship. At the very least, there's so many things we can't control. We can't control what these crazy people do in our lives. We can't control what goes on in the courtroom a lot, you know, and we always think we can control things so much more than we really can. And so there's so many things that we can't control that why not, you know, not quit on the only thing that hasn't quit on you, which is your heart. It keeps going despite the lifestyle, despite the stress, despite all of the white flags that it waves to us. It keeps us going, and it is the last thing to quit on us. And so I feel like the coolest thing we have is our ticker. And when you honor it in all of those ways, it's not a vanity thing. It is a thriving thing. It is a life thing. It is, what kind of life do you want after this junk and this horrible stuff that's happened? And I know, because Imbani, you know that, you know, it could kill any one of us. It really could. And that's where I drew the line. That's why I said, I've given this person everything. And I have a son who's almost 22, and I wanted to show him that I value them so much that, and I value myself, and it's okay. It's not a selfish thing. It's the only way to be. It is the only way to be, is to respect yourself. Because look at you, Bonnie, too. I mean, you have a wonderful person in your life, and, you know, that's because you respect yourself. When you think about, you know, how we feel about ourselves and what we put out there, that is what comes back into our life. That's what comes back. Because when you have healthy boundaries in place and you know what to say yes to and what to say no to, you're managing those gates. And whether you know it or not, you're not even going to look the wrong way at somebody who's spouting junk and giving off all those signals. So you're really quality controlling friends, men, people you're working with, and when there's not quality people in your circle, you realize it's okay to be alone. Like, this is okay, you know?
Well, I think that everything you're saying you can find in your book, and it's a wonderful reminder. As I say, I keep it here by my desk, and, you know, when I'm feeling like I just need a few minutes to boost myself up, I pick up your book, and there's always another tip in there that I'd love to read. And so for our listeners, as we're going to be wrapping up the show in a few minutes, I want to repeat this again. You can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, look under Love Yourself to Health with Gusto. You'll see Janine's beautiful picture on the cover of the book.
Thank you.
Along with some healthy-looking things that kind of detract from it, like oranges and lemons and avocados. Okay. But
you know what? Nobody really understands except our group why the cover is so damn feminine. It's colorful and
it's
girly.
Beautiful. I love this cover.
Pictures.
I think it's like the best picture of you I've ever seen. You just look so gorgeous, as
Thank
more
you.
So than ever.
I was
but
like,
that's because,
I'm a girl.
And because you're having a healthy lifestyle and you love yourself enough to do it. So these are good little tips. You know, Janine's not telling you have to do every one of them, but whatever little gleaning of a tip you get from here to make you healthier physically, emotionally, mentally, you know, it's only a plus for you, and it's very easy to order the book. It's very inexpensive. It's $15.95 for the covered book, and then the ebook is less. But this is something you'll want to keep by your desk, and you'll want to keep reading it, because maybe in hope someday you'll look like Janine Finelli. I don't know why.
I think you'll just want to be smiling,
like Janine Finelli. How's that?
Yeah, and feeling peace. That's what it is. And truly, the feedback has been amazing. And when I hear women say, "You've given me the courage to leave," I have one girl who I'm going to see her this week. She's local, and she said, "You need to come. I'm having a housewarming party at my new place. You've given me courage to leave," and that says it all.
And I do want people to know that Janine is a health coach who does coaching by phone. So you don't have to be near her in North Carolina. You can actually be anywhere and talk to her on the phone. And, you know, can they go to your website, Janine?
Yeah, JanineFinelli.com or loveyourselftohealth.com. And I do phone sessions all the time for people who live all over. And it's no judgment, no ego. We talk about you, your goals, what you want to feel, where you want to be physically, mentally. We put up together a plan. I email it to you. It's got all the information in there. And it's kind of a really great starting point. And I just kind of debunk myths, clear up confusion around what's healthy for you to eat, what's not in your best interest, and send you on your way. And it's something that you can just start to begin to make a shift in your life. So the program is very, very good.
You know, one thing I shifted in my life after I saw you last time, I now know that I can't eat muffins because it's the same as eating donuts, right?
Yeah, it's like a cupcake.
Or cupcakes, yeah. It's like a cupcake. Like, I always thought, oh, it's a healthy muffin. It's like a Raisin Bran. No,
exactly.
It's like a Raisin cupcake. That's what Janine taught me, so now I don't go near the muffins anymore. So
exactly.
Every little thing that you learn is a real victory towards your better health. And you'll just be amazed by this book, just like I'm always amazed by Janine. So once again, love yourself to health. With Janine, with Gusto, and it's by Janine Finelli. And if you have any question or are having a hard time getting it, just email me and I'll hook you up for that. And Janine, I'm hoping that you'll come back more often.
I will. And
like every
and
few months
up.
To give our women good health tips and
yes,
keeping
yes,
themselves
and people
healthy.
Can always, you know, reach out to me. And, you know, it costs money to be healthy up front, but it costs more to be sick in the end. So
oh, yes,
you think
about absolutely.
Your, you know, when you think about your health and investing in it, whether it's, you know, health coaching or gym membership or, you know, spending a little bit more money on healthier food or whatever it is, it costs so much more to be sick in America and probably worldwide than it does to be healthy. So invest in yourself because it's all you've got and you want to be there for those that you love, and you're proving that by trying to find a way out. So look at it that way. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity.
Right. And the fact that you get to talk to Janine, like I say, it's just so soothing and so comforting in and of itself. So this is a good start to your new future. Invest a little money in yourself. Get some health coaching. Definitely buy the book. It's so reasonable. And all I can say is that life does get better when you allow it to. Would you say that's
yeah.
true, Janine?
Oh, it's so true, Bonnie. And you know, you are such a huge inspiration for me, and I want everyone to know I would not be here without Bonnie and her books and her straight up honest love that she tells us what we need to hear, and that's really what it takes. We don't need anyone coddling us. We are here to help each other and be honest with each other and bring forth our gifts that we have to our group and to whoever needs it. And we all have different strengths and different weaknesses. And so I'm so grateful to Bonnie. I love you.
Oh, well, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be looking forward to when I can actually give you a big hug in person again when you come up
yes.
north.
Yes.
Don't forget to let me know, right?
I will. And I'll send you that thing tonight. So if you want to include
I'm
it, you
standing
can.
And waiting because I'm going to hold up my newsletter waiting for that.
Okay,
all right.
Well, I'm sending it.
All right,
good.
So everyone have a wonderful week. Janine, thank you so much. You know I love you, and I'll look forward to you coming back in a few months.
Okay, Bonnie,
and,
thank you. Good night, ladies.
Good night, everyone. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye.